Hey, everyone. I was about to say, would you please scoot in a bit to create some extra seats, but I noticed that that's not going to make any difference. So, guys in the back, sorry, my bad. Well, if you guys in the back there, feel free to find a seat in the aisles or the floors or whatever and just sit down, or you can just stand in the back. It's up to you. Sorry about that. We're working on the chair problem. I just knocked my mic off by accident as I walked up here, so it's kind of weird on my ear. How many of you guys read business books? Raise your hands if you read a business book. All right, how many of you guys wouldn't read a business book if your life depended on it? There's more of you. That's funny. I should get business guys and show them the stats. See? People don't read your books. But I actually like reading business books once in a while. It kind of keeps things interesting for me, and I like to read about what's going on and what's working and leadership and all this kind of stuff. And whenever you read business books, I always look for quotes. That's kind of my thing. I'm a quote guy. In fact, now that I think about it, I look for quotes in everything. When I go to the movies, I look for quotes. When I'm interacting with you and we're just chatting out there in the lobby, I'm probably looking for a quote. I'm waiting for it. And I'm like, oh, that was a great quote, and I store it away because, you know, quotes are such cool things. And quotes kind of capture little moments in life. So I'm going to read you a few quotes. These are not necessarily out of business books. Some of them are. But these are the kinds of things that usually go on those things that you see in the walls in business offices, you know. Really cool picture of an eagle soaring, and underneath it says, you know, leadership. And you're like, whoa, that's incredible. And so these are some of those quotes that come off of that. These in particular are quotes about teamwork. I want to read you the teamwork quotes. Here, let me say, listen to this about teamwork. We are committed to working together, each part a sum of the whole, all contributors to the final outcome, and that outcome is success. Ooh. Sounds a little scary, but you get the picture there. Listen to this one. Teamwork is the ability to work together toward a common vision, the ability to direct individual accomplishment toward organizational objective. It is the fuel that allows common people to attain uncommon results. How about this one? Coming together is the beginning. Keeping together is the progress. Working together is a success. Oh, the word success again. How about this one? When a team of dedicated individuals makes a commitment to act as one, the sky is the limit. All right, so that's business, right? What does the business world know? The business world knows this, that when we, the individual, come together as a team of people, that our ability to create something extraordinary is significantly increased, right? As soon as you have a business with a bunch of individuals, each one of those individuals focused on themselves and what they need and what they're going to get out of it, the chances that that business is going to reach the extraordinary level are slim to none. But as soon as people can come together and say, I am on a team, and as part of this team, I'm going to help us to make it, you start getting this concept of teamwork, okay? So that is the business world. Nothing to do with the Bible, right? Just the business world. Then you get into sports teams. You guys know this functions on sports teams, doesn't it? I mean, as a sports team, the very deal there, in fact, even individual sports like tennis or running or whatever, they have a team of people around them that prepare and train and help and all that. Without that team, nothing happens. If you are on a team, a sports team, and you are absolutely awesome at what you do, without the team being part of it, it doesn't matter, does it? How many of you guys watch professional sports at some point in your life? Just a few hands there. Yeah, I knew it. Okay, so here's the deal, right? You guys know this. There are numerous stories of individual players on either football teams or basketball teams or baseball teams or other teams that have broken every record in the book, that are extraordinarily talented, and yet their team never makes it to the Super Bowl or never makes it to the championship or never makes it anywhere. And despite the fact that they have this one person that is just unbelievable at what they do, without a team, it doesn't matter. I mean, you can be the best quarterback in the football league, and if your receiver can't catch, it doesn't make any difference. Because you're going to throw and you're going to toss, and if your blockers can't block properly, it's not going to make any difference. And so we see this thing in sports, that sports understands the concept that if you are an individual doing your individual thing with your own individual life, it's just not going to work. And so in business and in sports, you've got this idea. This idea is not only common to business and sport. In fact, it emerges from an idea that started at the beginning of time. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God says to us, he created everything that he made, and then he created man, the pinnacle of his creation. At least we thought at that second until he created woman, and then we all figured out what the real pinnacle was, right? So we have man created, and God looks at man, and he goes, it is not what? It is not good for man to be alone. That's right. You know, we always put that verse in the context of marriage, and it is certainly got to do with a lot with marriage because God then creates woman and they get together and it's incredible. But that verse has so much more in it than just marriage. It was God looking at man and going, I did not create you to be alone. I created you to be a team, to be together. We see this function in marriage, don't we? I mean, marriage is a wonderful thing, isn't it? I mean, you before you're married, all you want is a spouse. I mean, you know it. The girls start when they come out the womb. Does anybody see my spouse around? The guys, they hit their like mid-30s and they go, all right, I've had all the fun. I know what to do. Can I find a woman now? And you know, the two eventually meet up, right? So you fall in love and it's beautiful and it's community and it's teamwork and it's togetherness. And then you start realizing this thing of being in love and not married is a bum deal. I mean, you know, you hit the midnight hour and you got to leave and go home. Oh, what a drag, you know. I mean, have you ever been there? Sitting with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, you're like, I got to go. No, don't leave, please. And then eventually you break apart and then you whisper, someday we'll be married and we can live in the same house and it'll be beautiful. You know, when you're dating, you stay out of the bedroom, right? You're like, if we go in that bedroom, we're dead. So we're staying out of the bedroom, we're staying in the living room. And so then you figure out the living room's bad, so you stay out of the apartment. And then you figure out, wow, pretty much whenever we're together, it's bad, so you try to be in public with lots of people. And so you work with this all the time, right? And then what happens? You finally get married, and your honeymoon, I mean, you're in the same house together all the time. You're sleeping in the same bed. It's amazing. And then you go home, and you move into your house, and you put your furniture in. And then you sit around, and you figure it out. You're like, wow, marriage is cool, but the fringe benefits are amazing. You get to live in the same house. You get to sleep in the same bed. You get to be together all the time. It's wonderful. And then you figure out as marriage continues on that living in the same house is not always a fringe benefit. In fact, sleeping in the same bed is not always a fringe benefit. And you start going, wow, this is not what they told me back then. And then you're laying in your marriage and you're looking at this whole thing as community has developed and community has broken apart and then your community's developing and breaking all the time. And then you start getting it. You know what you start getting? You start realizing the fringe benefits of marriage are not the fringe benefits at all. They are the necessities that keep this thing going. See, we live in the same house so that when we're ticked at each other and we want to leave, we know we can't. Because we got to work through this. We got to make this work. That's what marriage is. That's what community is. It's coming together and saying, this is not a fringe benefit. I sleep in the same bed as you, whether I'm angry or not, because we're married and because we're in this thing together, and that's the way it's going to be. Whenever you go to any kind of marriage counseling, they'll tell you when you start sleeping in separate beds or you start living in separate houses, things start degrading from there in relationship. That's why we force